Shopify grows your business no matter how far or big you grow. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. Whether you're selling your fans' next favorite shirt or an exclusive piece of podcast merch, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Allbirds, Rothy's, Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/income, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/income now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in.
We're joined this afternoon by Myatt Snyder. First off, man, how are you? And thanks for joining.
I'm doing wonderful. It's cool to be on a podcast, and I appreciate y'all having me.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks for coming on, and thanks to Ashley for coordinating. But Frenchie, you're up first.
Yeah. So Myatt, obviously, you raced this past weekend in Portland, and highest finishing Toyota, finished in sixth place. But I was looking at your schedule for the rest of the season, and you don't have another race for 4 months as of today when we're recording this. So how do you keep busy, and what is that 4 months going to look like?
Yeah, you know, it's like we looked at the month of October and we're like, yeah, we'll take all of it. So, I've got another 3 months until I get to race again, which is fun. About the same amount of time that I had in between Daytona, I'm just spending that time off by trying to find more sponsors and training and making sure I'm ready for the next race. I was actually watching a replay of the Roval today. So that will be my next race, and just preparing as best I can, you know? So obviously this past weekend was pretty good. Finished sixth place, and you know, I think we made the most out of everything that happened for sure. So, yeah, it was overall a pretty good weekend.
So when you finish sixth and then you don't race, whether it's, you know, a month or 2 months, or in this case, 4 months, is it in a way almost frustrating that you can't follow up such a good result, especially when you're the top finishing Toyota with, you know, a race, even if it's not the next race, at least a couple races later?
Yeah, you know, it is a little frustrating, especially since they're going to another road course with Sonoma. But, you know, I'm showing people that I can compete and I can be around, and I deserve a shot at this. So for me, that's all I can ask for right now. I try and look at it as positively as I can. So that's how I look at it.
Nice.
So you mentioned that you basically signed up for the whole month of October. How did you guys end up picking your races? Was that something you guys did with your sponsor, and, you know, or did you just kind of see those tracks and realize, hey, these are places I like and that I want to race at?
Well, there's a caveat. I'm not racing Miami, but every other race I have pretty much. So, it was a little bit of a combination of, you know, what the sponsors wanted and what made sense for us. And so, obviously, you know, picking two road courses was pretty big. I feel like I've always been good at Vegas, but Vegas has not been good to me. So that'll be the next race. And then Martinsville, I've had a lot of history at, and I've come close to winning there in both the Xfinity and the Truck Series. So, and as well as late model stocks as well. And so, and then always good to be in the championship finale and racing against when people are at their, you know, toughest level of competition all year. So, it was a little bit of, you know, what West Coast races can we get, and what races make sense for, you know, my skill level and, you know, places I need to work on. So that's kind of what we ended up with.
So I'm going to go slightly off topic here. You know, when you have a parent also working in racing, in this case, you know, your dad and Marty Snyder. I'm sure you watch him on TV plenty. Does he ever say anything on TV where you're like, Dad, why did you just say that?
No, actually,
he's
gotten his process pretty good. However, there is a little piece of trivia that I have about him. There is a video on YouTube called Marty Snyder's Bad Day. And it was from pretty early on in his career. I think it was like qualifying day for Daytona or something like that. And you just had about four or five drivers ask him after he asked a question, why the hell would you ask that? And so it's kind of funny to see that because we joke about it. And so it's obviously he hasn't had a day like that since then, but it's still pretty funny that that exists.
That is pretty funny. I have to go to look that up, I guess. I don't know if he's going to be happy that you told everybody this, if that's going to get a lot more views maybe now, but it sounds funny. So I wanted to ask you a bit about Treetop, your sponsor. That it's like a pretty unique sponsor, and I just wanted to know how you paired up with them. What was that connection that you made there?
Yeah, we had a mutual connection that kind of went to a new role, and it happened to be at Treetop, and he wanted to continue our relationship, and so we just made it work, and the same program is still working for them. I feel like they're seeing a lot of exposure, and they're enjoying being at the races, so they actually had about 30 employees at the Portland race, so, or excuse me, 20 employees, so it's pretty cool to see them getting so much out of it, even, you know, only a few races in to the year, and I'm glad I got connected with them.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey there, and welcome to the Joy of Paddle podcast, hosted by me, Minter Dial, a veteran of the paddle tennis world, and sponsored by Paddle 1969. Whether you're a paddle tennis aficionado, just beginning, or have never even heard of paddle, or padel, as it's called in North America, this is an exhilarating new show that delves into the captivating stories of notable paddle personalities worldwide. In its inaugural season, you'll be treated to exclusive anecdotes, valuable tips, life lessons, and humorous moments shared by esteemed professional paddle players, industry insiders, and passionate paddle enthusiasts. With each season aligning with the Pro Tour, you can anticipate two engaging episodes per month. The Joy of Paddle podcast is part of the Evergreen Podcast Network, where you can find other great shows in a number of categories, such as sports, health and wellness, true crime, and fiction. To find out more about Evergreen Podcasts, go to www.evergreenpodcast.com. Vamos!
So I'm going to go off of the sponsor question. First off, I did find Marty Snyder's Bad Day. Or what is it? Marty Snyder's Rough Day.
Rough Day. You picked that up real quick.
So, yeah, I'm not usually that quick, but I will post it in the show notes for everybody who wants to check it out. Let's go with you've raced IMSA. You've done the Michelin Pilot Challenge. You drove for Ford there. Obviously, you've driven trucks. Is there any chance we see you pop in on anything else this year in between June 7th and October 7th?
I guess it depends. You know, if I snag some more sponsorships, you know, my extra NASCAR activities may vary. I would love to. Okay. I've had a long history of running late model stocks throughout the years, and I would love to run the Valley Star Credit Union, or it's not sponsored by them anymore, but the big Martinsville late model stock race. That's one. Yeah. That one's always been near and dear to my heart. So running that, And generally kind of running any other late model, super late model races would be pretty big for me. You know, I've looked into getting a micro sprint and running it some races at Millbridge, but I don't really have the money for that right now. So maybe we'll secure some sponsors and make that happen. But yeah, definitely interested in some extra NASCAR activities for sure.
I love it.
So what is that average day? Maybe you don't have an average day, but what does the pursuit of sponsors look like for you? Like, are you just kind of reaching out to companies, or, you know, is it cold calling? What's the kind of process there?
A little mix of everything. You know, I do a lot of networking on LinkedIn. I try and trying to get into do some more cold calling. You know, just generally do everything I can to reach every avenue for, you know, somebody who is a decision maker at a company, you know, whether they be a chief marketing officer, a chief operating officer, anybody that, you know, may make a decision on that kind of stuff. And, you know, the good thing is that we've had really good results with all of our sponsors so far. The bad part is just getting new companies convinced to hop on board, because it's hard to get them to, you know, number one, for people who haven't really heard of racing before to care about racing, and then two, to get them to convince that, hey, this is, you know, we need to make a business case, or trying to make a business case for them. It's just it's a little bit difficult.
Speaking from professional experience, cold calling is exhausting, so I feel your pain. But, you know, from a sponsor standpoint, when you have a sponsor, you know, that you've secured for six races and whatnot, you finish sixth, you have a good start to the year. Obviously, you know, you have a couple months until you're racing again, but just getting good results, do sponsors notice that when you start talking about, you know, future years, whether you're talking 2024 or whether you're talking, hey, you know, do you want to go, you know, sprint car racing or your whatever late model racing to fill some time in between now and then?
Yeah, I think the sponsors definitely noticed the results for sure, because I actually did a factory tour for Treetop when the Thursday before the race. And one of the first things that I talked about them with, or one of the first things that they mentioned to me, was how excited they were in their very first race to see me, you know, running for the lead, leading 19 laps and winning a stage. They were so ecstatic about that, because they're just, you know, they're getting to see a car with their logo on it out at the front leading the race. And then they're getting to bring employees to see, you know, see the race this year at the racetrack. And so it's just, it's huge for them to see that level of success, you know, being associated with their logo. So they definitely notice the results, and it definitely makes them more apt to want to do more races.
Do you get extra cases of
yeah,
applesauce or apple juice delivered to your house after a good result?
I definitely have gotten a lot of product, I will say that.
Love it. That's good stuff. So I wanted to, I guess, ask you what your ultimate goal, I guess, would be. Is that cup racing, or do you see yourself kind of just like, is Xfinity the place you'd like to be? You know, some people just kind of stay in Xfinity and they end up being really good and having a whole career there. Is cup basically what you'd see yourself trying to get into at some point?
You know, I think any young NASCAR driver would be lying to themselves if they said that they didn't want to go cup racing at some point in their career. So,
fair enough.
You know, for me, it definitely, I want to get there at some point, you know, to do it. But if I, you know, end up being an Xfinity lifer or Truck Series lifer, I'm going to be okay with that, because I'll still be, yeah, you know, racing full time professionally on the NASCAR circuit. And that to me is, you know, was my dream growing up as a kid, to be a full time professional race car driver, especially competitively, you know. So, you know, definitely want to be in Cup. But if I, you know, if I end up with any other series, I'll definitely still be content with that.
So I wrote this down. I don't know if it's a good question or not. So if it's not, we can move past it quickly. But when Kyle Larson got hit a few weeks ago at this point, and kind of the side of his car split open, and people started raising questions about the safety of the next gen NASCAR, I'm curious for a driver's take on, you know, what happened then, and if guys have kind of talked about it, you know, in the garages at all.
I think it's definitely a focus for sure. You know, it's a little bit of a weird dynamic right now, right? Because, you know, obviously the Cup teams used to have the power to make their cars safer and as well built as they needed to be. And now that power is out of their hands. And so it's in NASCAR's hands to figure it out. And, you know, they've done a lot of work to make the cars better. I think they've definitely worked on, you know, some of the rear clip stuff over the offseason. And that's been a huge contribution. But, you know, it's still a relatively new race car. And, you know, there's going to be iterations that have to be made. And that's obviously one of them. So, and if you go back and look at that replay, there was a huge differential in speed. Like Ryan Preece thought he had the wreck cleared, and so he was trying to gas up and get out of there. And obviously Larson had come back up the track and created a huge differential in speed, and that's just what makes those crashes so much more violent. So it's definitely a working process for sure.
Is it one of those things, sorry Frenchie, that where, you know, it was scary, but it's, I don't want to say one in a million, but you don't see incidents like that with that kind of speed very often.
Well, I mean, you're talking with the guy who had a one in a million incident last year at Daytona. So
I was going to skip that one.
Yeah.
Well, I have experience, firsthand experience. So I guess it's relevant. But you know, these cars are, you know, infinitely more safe than they were, you know, 10, 20 years ago. So it does make a difference, you know, having those big crashes happen, because it helps us to be better for the next time. And I think, you know, the fact that, you know, both guys walked away from something like that is still pretty, pretty impressive.
So I just wanted to get a sense of what it's like working with Joe Gibbs Racing. Obviously they're really a powerhouse within NASCAR. And I mean, you've had experience obviously working with some other big teams as well, but just being within that fold and kind of, you know, Toyota's main team in NASCAR, what's it like that kind of getting that exposure and that connection with such an organization?
It's really awesome, man. I put a footnote at my debrief for this weekend when I was filling out my notes, and I said, I wish I was working with you guys every week, because, you know, they're just so professional and so buttoned up, and, you know, they're just calm. You know, they go to the racetrack, they know what they have, they know, you know, if they're off, and they know what they need to improve it. And so going there with that basis of knowledge and just having such a good race car every time you go to the track is really reassuring to let you know that you can do your job as a driver. So it's really awesome. And I noticed a lot of things from this past weekend that, you know, the JGR car did better than every other car that I've had before has done. So it was really cool to see, and really awesome to work with them. And I've just enjoyed every race so far.
Does that make it any easier, sort of the confidence that you have in their experience, like just being able to know that when I jump in, even if it's been 3 months, that I'm going to be able to run up front because I'm working with this team in particular?
Yeah, for sure. It definitely gives me a lot of confidence to know that, you know, all I have to do is execute and do my job, and we're going to have, you know, we're going to have a top five car. And, you know, going to a place that I've had, you know, success at, like Portland, you know, that's huge, because, you know, I know how to make speed there, and the car is obviously fast there. So really it's just nitpicking little things to make it, you know, that much faster through practice. And then, you know, you just go out and qualify, and we had a lot of speed in both practice and qualifying. And it just, you know, the weekend was very, very automatic, you know?
So I have, let's see. I don't know what I want to go. All right, we'll go with the Spotify question here. So every time we have a driver on, we add a song to our Pit Lane Parlay driver Spotify playlist. You can pick a song that maybe you're digging right now, or something you listen to before a race. Totally up to you. But what are you adding to the list?
It's not a new song, but it's definitely one that I am for sure rocking to a ton right now, and that's Knights of Cydonia by Muse.
Oh, great choice.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You have good taste, sir.
Excellent. Excellent choice. Go ahead, Frenchie.
So I get, yeah, kind of getting off topic a little bit. I, in doing some research on you, basically read in several places that you are interested in flying and getting a pilot's license. Have you sort of made any progress towards that, or are working on that still a goal or a dream to eventually do?
Yes, I actually, I've been doing it on and off since 2018. And this year I've probably made the most progress in a while towards getting that license. So I am, to give kind of a summary, I have passed my FAA written, which is, you know, the for me was the hardest part because I'm not a great test taker. So that was kind of a big milestone for me. I've also kind of finished up my long distance cross country flights, which is, you know, most people think, oh my gosh, cross country. Wait, are you flying to California? No, I'm not flying to California. I have to fly 150 miles, and that's kind of the big you know, check mark that you have to do before you can really start taking your test. So it's I'm about one flight away from having all of my, you know, boxes to check and being able to take the check ride, which is basically the big test flight that you have to do to get your license. So yeah, I'm very close to getting it, and looking forward to hopefully flying myself to a few races once I get that.
That's awesome.
Yeah, that's pretty epic. My last question, this is just like a Portland observation question, not about Xfinity or IndyCar or whoever goes there, but every time I go to Portland, it's like, from a facility standpoint, is like the most depressing racetrack. You know, the media center looks like it's going to like blow over with a gust of wind, and it could use a refresh. I don't know if, like, what do you think of Portland, you know, A, as a track, and B, just kind of, you know, exploring around the track when you have a little bit of downtime?
You know, from a pure racetrack perspective, I think it's phenomenal. Like, I think it's got a good mix of flowing corners, you know, good setup stuff, a little bit of technical stuff, not quite as technical as the Roval. But from a pure racetrack standpoint, the track is awesome. Now, you are correct in that it does need some work on the like, there is zero cell signal at the racetrack. It was all I could do on Saturday, you know, before the race, to get one picture uploaded to all my socials before race time, because I had, you know, meet and greets and all this other stuff that I had to take care of. And so by the time it took me probably 30 minutes to download one picture successfully. So that was a fun time. So yeah, cell signal for sure. I think they could probably have a better plan for traffic, but it's a little bit difficult since all the roads are already built. You know, it has potential for sure. And I think it's going to take a while to kind of get it to the point where it's at its full potential, to, you know, where we, like a cup race, but I think it's possible. It just has to, a lot of things have to go right, you know?
Right. Fair enough. Well, that's all we have. Sir, thank you very much for joining. It's been a lot of fun. Good luck the rest of this year. We'll definitely be following along, and hopefully we see you at a track soon.
I'm Bruce Martin, host of Pit Pass Indy. Each week, I go behind the scenes of the NTT IndyCar Series and introduce our listeners to the biggest stars of IndyCar, which features the Indianapolis 500 as its cornerstone event. The men and women that compete in IndyCar may be the bravest athletes in all of sport, as danger lurks around every corner. They are able to look danger in the eye without flinching. That is why the NTT IndyCar Series features the best racing on the planet. Join me every week as we talk to the stars of IndyCar, including the legends of the Indianapolis 500, on Pit Pass Indy from Evergreen Podcast.